Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
D-Aliens, a happy Trash Tuesday to you. This is Mirazzi, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks again for keeping it locked to the best of the DA Show. Here's all of Tuesday's laughs, hysteria, and hot takes. The best of the DA Show right now.
First team, Tom Brady. Second team, Aaron Rodgers. We will see both of those guys in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. No doubt about it. Both those guys are going into Canton. But what's interesting is no Drew Brees. And in the 2000s team, your quarterbacks were Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. So, Drew Brees will have played 20 years at quarterback. He will have won a Super Bowl, would have been a Super Bowl MVP, would have rewritten most, if not all, of the significant passing records in NFL history. When he retires, will likely hold almost all of them, and will have never made an all-decade team. Four slots, 20 years, Brady two of them, Peyton one of them, Rodgers one of them. Is Drew Brees destined to be overlooked by history because of who he played alongside? It is where we begin your cold open.
He's got a wide open receiver. It's caught at the 35, breaking the tackle. 30 from the 20 down the sideline, the 10, the 5, and it's a touchdown for Tre'Quan Smith. Over the shoulder catch, 62 yards. And the record, Brees has done it with a standing ovation from over 74,000. Drew Brees has just become professional football's all-time leading passer.
I'll be able to reflect on it maybe a little bit more when my career is done. I still feel like there's work to be done, but just really, really proud and very grateful.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was the great Kevin Harlan on Westwood One calling the record breaker. That was, of course, Drew Brees upon getting the record. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And he will be one of the most admired players of this era. Drew Brees in the city of New Orleans, the state of Louisiana, is a living legend and will be until the end of time. And so when you talk about overlooked or overshadowed, I think there's going to be elements of Drew Brees' career that live on forever. Specifically in New Orleans, what he has meant to that city, meant to that state, post-Katrina, what he's doing now, donating $5 million to the state of Louisiana in the wake of the coronavirus crisis. He has been the ultimate city guy, the ultimate hometown guy. And he will probably be, for as long as all of us live, the greatest living saint and the greatest saint of all time. He will be the greatest player in that franchise's history, probably forever. So, in that way, he's not going to be overlooked. And he's going to be in the NFL Hall of Fame. So in that way, he's not going to be overlooked. But there's always going to be people, in some ways this is unfair, that say that Drew Brees was a product of the era and a product of his home stadium and a product of his offense. That Brees, in some people's estimation, I don't agree with this, had a benefit of same coach, wide open offense, play indoors in a pass-happy era, and grade him down for that. I'm not one of those guys. Now, I will admit that when you talk about the greatest of this era, I would still put Tom Brady and Peyton Manning above him. I think it's fair to put Aaron Rodgers above him on this list as well, because in this decade is not the decade that Drew Brees won his Super Bowl. That was last decade, 09. Also, Favre has two MVPs in this decade. Drew Brees does not have any. So if you're simply going 2010 to 2019, I think the list is right, that Rodgers was the greater quarterback, even though he's had some ups and downs. Just in terms of accomplishments, I would say for this decade, Rodgers was greater. But I think it's unfair for the people that look at Drew Brees and say, well, he wasn't Tom Brady, or he wasn't Peyton Manning, or he didn't play outdoors, or he didn't have multiple head coaches. I think that's unfair, because that's not Drew Brees' fault. Brees has succeeded with the situations given him. And yes, they've had a couple of 7-9s. And yes, the Saints haven't been back to a Super Bowl with him. But ultimately, Brees has maxed out his career in every which way. I mean, coming out of Purdue, people said he's too short to play in the NFL. He was a second-round draft pick. He was the first pick of the second round by the Chargers. He was given up, left for dead by the Chargers. They wanted to move on to Phillip Rivers. Dolphins said, bum shoulder, we can't trust you. I mean, for 15, 16 years, Drew Brees' career has been otherworldly, and he should not be overlooked by NFL historians because of the era that he played in. This is not just because, oh, everybody throws for 5,000 yards. That's not true. When you look at the total 5,000-yard seasons in NFL history, Drew Brees has basically half of those, okay? So he is one of the greatest passers ever. But I didn't have a problem with him not being on the NFL 100. I don't have a problem with him not being on this year's NFL All-Decade team or this decade's All-Team. But I do say, unfortunately, some people will grade him down, which I think is a mistake for things like this. The unfortunate truth is he's been surrounded in his career these days and the previous decade by all-time crazy quarterbacking. Peyton, Rodgers, Brady, I mean, those are three of the greatest ever, and he's one of the greatest ever as well. He's just been, unfortunately, a tick under those guys in a couple of significant things for these types of awards, but his career is absolutely satisfying and amazing in every way. And being the guy that he is off the football field might even mean it more. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Whereas when you see something like this, do you think, another case of where Drew Brees is going to be overlooked historically?
No, but I do think this only further adds to the point when we even talk about the class of Rivers, Manning, and Roethlisberger, that guys should not be punished because they played in a golden era at their position. Now, everybody wants to judge the Hall of Fame, and we know Brees is going anyway based on how you were against your peers. And we all know Brees is going, as I just said, but him not making these all-decade teams only further adds to how deep the quarterback position has been over the last 15, 20 years, and we shouldn't overlook guys who may have shined in other eras because of how deep it is.
This is just a chance for you to defend Eli Manning in the
Hall
of Fame.
No, it is not. You saw this. Because I would say the same thing about Rivers, I would say the same thing about Romo.
But you don't want Rivers or Romo in the Hall of Fame.
But I have come around and understand more and more. And all of the knocks you brought on Breeze, I mean, look, the guy is throwing.
Well, there's 60. No knocks. There's no.
No, I understand. But what people are going to say, and the one thing I have always said, this guy has thrown nearly 100 less touchdown passes on the road. He has averaged nearly 65 less yards per game on the road. Like, the stats are there. He is a much better player in the pinball dome that is the Superdome. So for critics to have that, never have a knock on Breeze, I do get it. He still would have been great no matter what. I believe that. I don't think it's just a Sean Payton home thing. But anything you want to say about Drew Breeze and take him down a peg, I could kind of have the argument, but I also gather this is why you don't punish guys for playing in golden eras.
Okay, so you're putting Romo in the Hall of Fame.
I have come around to that. I would.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no.
And I
got to
be honest
with
you. Dear. At this point, I'd probably put Matt Ryan in as well.
Oh, my goodness. What has quarantine done to you?
I'm not calling anybody a turd here today. I mean, what? Come
but
on.
We have said we
that's
said,
the bar. That's the
said,
bar. If you come on here,
the bar is Tony Romo's won 2 playoff games.
But now we're not crediting the regular season success.
I mean, you'd have to have some pretty damn good regular season success, Mraz, to put Tony Romo, a guy with 2 playoff wins.
Look, I cannot believe I have to wave the flag for Tony Romo at 6:15 in the morning on an April day. But I'm just saying, these are guys who were pretty damn good quarterbacks that might have been top 5 quarterbacks of a different era that are getting punished because of the golden era of a Breeze, Rodgers, Brady, Manning.
Look.
Oh.
I mean, let me tell you, okay, something right now. Obviously, Peyton Manning's getting in. Obviously, Drew Brees is getting in. Obviously, Tom Brady's getting in. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is getting in. Then we can actually have a conversation of who's not getting in. I think more than likely Roethlisberger's getting in. My guess is Eli gets in. Now we're talking about the next crew. I don't think Phillip Rivers is getting in, and I don't think Romo's getting in. But if you're also adding Rivers and Romo, why not just put half the league's quarterbacks into this point in time? Look, I mean, Tony Romo, you can't say, well, he's been hurt by competition. He was like the 7th or 8th best quarterback at best during his career, at his very peak in the league.
This is very hypocritical of me because I was never a big Romo or Rivers guy. I always found
him
overrated.
You think you've trashed him for years.
But the point is, when you play the numbers game and you dive into Pro Football Reference, and I hate doing that because it should just be an eye test situation, yeah, I think that Romo and Rivers likely get punished because of the era they're playing in. And Breeze is just a catalyst of that when you consider him not making the old decade teams. We're punishing guys because of their peers when it's a golden era of their position.
Well, somebody has to win the football games. I hate to break it to you, but somebody, when you play on Sunday, there's a winner and there's a loser.
Well, for the most part,
the guy that loses
a freaking quarterback for 20 years that's won the football games. So
Well, we're putting in, though, the other guys as well. It's not like it's just Tom Brady that gets the only enshrinement. There is a Peyton Manning from this era. There is a Drew Brees. There's an Aaron Rodgers. There's a Ben Roethlisberger that we are putting in. There's other guys that won football games. Tony Romo did not.
He won a lot of regular season football games. God.
Yeah, all those week 17s where he collapsed.
Yeah, look, I don't even like Romo. This makes me feel dirty.
This is a quarantine take. I see it. It's not a quarantine take.
I did a lot of deep dive. You found me in a rabbit hole in Pro Football Reference last night when I was going through the Breeze stuff, and I thought to myself, you know what, maybe these guys do deserve it. So that's all.
Right here.
Have a nice little day here.
These days on the show, we're calling outrageous takes quarantine takes, like Rex Ryan's turd take.
They're turd bombs.
Like Mraz's Tony Romo's in Canton take. We're calling these quarantine takes because Mraz thinks that by being holed up in your apartment or your house for weeks or months on end, you tend to have crazier sports opinions.
You do. You have more time on your hands. Sway yourself.
That MLB executives and the players union are working on getting baseball back by May, by next month. Here's how it would work. They would make Phoenix the quote-unquote bubble city, where all teams are playing all of the games from Phoenix. No fans. There are, I believe, 10 spring training sites. There is the Diamondbacks' home, Chase Field. So you have a full stadium, and then all the spring training sites, and then also ancillary ballparks as well. My guess is those ballparks that are on the facilities of some of those spring training areas, because those are all Major League Baseball facilities. that all of the teams would be in hotels, sequestered off from everybody else, isolated and away from their family. They would play all of the games for the time being in Phoenix, in the greater Phoenix area. The one thing that they would hurt on right now is attendance, which is a big part of baseball's revenue, but there would be no fans. The way that they would do this is they would test these players constantly and expand rosters in case somebody gets sick. Now, they're only going to do this, they say, assuming that testing is more prevalent for the general public. So I think that they worry about the PR of having a league running and these guys getting tested constantly when the rest of us can't get tested regularly. But it feels like the testing's getting better. It feels like the speed is getting better. And so if we're having kind of instantaneous ability to test and everybody's getting tested, baseball would be more comfortable coming back. Because here's the unfortunate truth is that these multi-million, multi-billion dollar corporations like professional sports have access to the testing through private medical companies that they have access to that we don't. So they really have the access to all the tests that they want, but they don't want it to seem like they're depriving others of these tests. So if they can get testing regularly, green-lighted, and the players agreeing to be sequestered away, isolated away from their family for months on end because they started in May, they might have to go right through October. So are you okay with you not being close to your family for 4 or 5 months? But if they can get that agreed to, they might also, their worry is not necessarily just the players' health. They know that most of these players, not that everybody that is in their 20s or 30s are not vulnerable, because we have seen cases, obviously, where that has not been the case, but they feel as though the risk is not great for their players, but the umpires, the managers, okay? Those guys who are older, they worry about more. So one of the things, one of the solutions would be umpires not directly in back of the players, at least the home plate umpire, that you would do electronic balls and strikes so that the home plate umpire can be farther back and not have to call that up close. They also are thinking about, instead of using the dugout for everybody to sit in, they would sit in the stands 6 feet apart so that there's far more space between them. So these are really interesting and unique alterations. I mean, imagine watching a baseball game, obviously, with no fans in a spring training facility, and the players not sitting in the dugout, the players sitting in the stands 6 feet away from one another, and balls and strikes called electronically so that the home plate umpire is not too close to the players. These are all things that could be taking place, but they're all things that would get the games going. And, I mean, look, do I think that there is a sense amongst the leagues and certainly amongst the White House that sports being back is good psychologically and helps out the country? Yeah, I think that that's true. I think that just having some normalcy, having an escape, having a diversion, and let's face it, sports brings joy. Just people see winning, celebrations. It's joyous. It's happiness. So I think the government and I think that these leagues understand that that is their contribution, but also this is about money. And baseball stands to lose a crazy amount of money if there is no season. The players lose a lot of money, obviously, if games are not played. And the owners and the organizations lose a ton of money. And the television networks are dying for this type of stuff. So there is some sense that what baseball would lose by not having fans, they could recoup some of it by expanding the nationally televised television broadcast package. So in other words, TBS, ESPN, and Fox, who have partial contracts with Major League Baseball, would expand their coverage and would say, okay, well, we usually carry 2 games a week, and now we want to carry 5 games a week, and so that ups the coffers for baseball. So these are the ways that baseball is trying to get this done. Jeff Passan is reporting this morning that it could be done as early as May. They could try to get this done, but certainly by early June is what they are hoping for. And that's really good news. I mean, the fact is it weird to be playing in spring training ballparks without any fans and players isolated from their families for 5 months and seven-inning doubleheaders to get as many games in as possible and players sitting in the stands 6 feet away from one another? Yeah, it's weird. But ultimately, is it a win? Hell yeah, it's a win. Waking up today, there's rarely been good news over the last month. Rarely are you waking up to good news. Today, that's good news. It's good news that they are serious enough in these talks that they have a plan in place, if it can get done, that Jeff Passan is reporting and feels like it's solid enough ground that he can report it on, because he's a really good reporter and a really judicious and responsible reporter. So this is not just pulled out of the sky. This is what they're working on. So you got to imagine if they try to get this done, about a month from now is when they would open up spring training for maybe 2 weeks, and they would do a two and a half week spring training, try to get back into shape, expand the rosters, and maybe by late May, probably best case scenario, but by late May, you might have baseball games being played. I mean, I think the hope is you begin getting baseball played in late May. I mean, this is best case scenario. And then by August, we are cleared to congregate again. I mean, again, I realize this is best case scenario, but this is just the hope, being an optimist. And then you have games played in front of fans or in stadiums, at least hopefully by the fall, hopefully by the playoffs. But either way, getting games played, no matter what the circumstances now, I think is a good thing. Mraz, I would say waking up to this news is definitely a breath of fresh air this morning.
We just need good news, right? You need something to hold on to. And, you know, we'll talk about the PGA later on, but them releasing a little bit of a schedule. Jeff Passan, of all people, who we trust, obviously reporting this. You know, things like Governor Cuomo with, you know, words like flattening the curve seem to be at least hopefully beginning in New York. Like, these are real hopeful things that it just brings happiness to my face. I know it's got to bring happiness to a lot of people's face, but the idea might be a little weird when we get to this baseball situation. I mean, every game played in Arizona, are games going to look weird on the little ballparks? Are they going to look weird with players sitting in the dugout 6 feet apart? Yeah, but ultimately, we get up, there's pitcher, there's batter, there's double plays being turned. I mean, that is something we need. Even if we're still in isolation, the idea that we can go on the back porch, throw on a baseball game, you know, whether it's TV, radio, something like that, and just hold on to it. I mean, I know it's going to bring joy to my face, and I'm sure it'll bring joy to plenty of others.
I think this plan also works from a logistics standpoint. There's a lot of changes that you would have to do to the baseball season to get this done, but these changes are realistic.
Yes.
You can isolate players in the Phoenix area because there's enough hotels to do so. You can use all of those ballparks and flesh out a full schedule and get all the games played because there's a minimum of 11 ballparks in that area, and there's a 30-team league. So, you know, hypothetically, you only need 15 facilities every day or so. There is some sense that Chase Field, where the Diamondbacks play, could host triple headers. So, you know, you could knock out getting the infrastructure done this way. You could have, by next month, rapid testing so that everybody is constantly tested. And baseball itself also lends itself to natural, inherent social distancing. Players are not, like in football, in huddles. They're not slamming up against one another constantly. They're not in the offensive and defensive line breathing on one another. You know, baseball is relatively spread out. So I think out of all the sports, this makes sense. And I would say, I don't know, in terms of a sport that doesn't need the crowd to bring all the energy, I think golf is the obvious one because it's always silent anyway. I think baseball, it's not great, but I think it's survivable because I think about like spring training. I'll watch spring training games and you don't feel the crowd at all in spring training games.
You're absolutely right. Now, the only other two things I would say here are this. They're going to have guys sitting 6 feet apart in the stands. But does that mean, that, you know, a guy hits a big home run to win a game? We're not throwing a mosh pit at the plate, nothing
true.
Like that.
True.
You know, and you're going to separate the teams into hotels. Are they not eating breakfast together? Are we going to separate everybody 6 feet apart? You know, like little things like that. I'm just, if the teams are all quarantined with each other in a hotel, do they need to be in the stands sitting 6 feet apart, or are they kind of like us living with our families at home where, you know, you're not necessarily 6 feet apart with them? That's the only thing that would be really weird to me.
Yeah, I don't know. And I think that, you know, a lot of these little singular details that were reported by Jeff are things that are in the works. But I think the big thing is, will the players' union agree to this? Because the players' union has to agree to being isolated from their family for months on end. But, you know, baseball players are losing money by the day that games aren't played. So I think that the union will ultimately find a way to say yes if they get some other concessions on safety.
Right, and not to be a complete heartless jerk when it comes to, you know, family and everything, but just a couple notes on that. Baseball players by nature are not like you and I or Bogus or Bilotti, where they're used to being away from their family. They travel for 82 away dates a year. They're at the ballparks every night during the summer. I would think that is the one sport that is conducive to being away from your family. And I'm not saying during this time it's not different. Of course it is. And also, I mean, on that note, I don't know, you, me, Bogus, whatever. Look, if I got a chance to make money and it's 5 months away from my family who's been breathing down my neck for the last 2 months, I'm taking it.
Yeah, if you've got a $15 million contract and it includes but you have to be away from your family for 4 months, my guess is that's about a 90% yes rate from that union now.
It's 100% for me.
So good news today if you're a sports fan. Jeff Passan, ESPN, reporting there is a plan in place right now that they're trying to work on to get baseball back by May, all games being played in the Phoenix area. Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
I'm trashing the young woman who I went to college with who slid into my DMs for the wrong reason yesterday. The wrong reason.
Hubba hubba.
I have been taking my jogs I like to do, and there is a local park that feeds out down to the water, down to the ocean by me that I've been jogging to. So I like to, for a little tranquility, how about that for a word?
Nice.
Film the water on my Instagram and kind of like a relief to put it there. So she DM'd me and said, you know, you're part of the problem here. Stop going to park, start doing all, you know, stop doing all this while we're going through here. Now, look, I understand the park aspect if you're in a more dense area, a more dense city, people are on top of each other. The park by me on Long Island, if anybody's there, we are more than 6 feet away from each other. People are minding their space. But where I really have a problem with her is, 2 days after the Rudy Gobert incident happened, she got on a plane with her husband and took a week's vacation to Japan and flew back just when the travel ban started to happen. So she put up all the pictures. What a lovely trip. Who are you to tell me I can't jog down to the park where 2 days after everything really unfoiled here, you thought it was a good idea to fly and have a vacation in Japan? I'm calling Glass House, and I'm calling for people to mind their damn business.
Okay, Trasher.
I smell rotten eggs.
Have you policed anybody else in terms of social distancing?
Absolutely not, and at least in my area, everybody has been more than gracious of, we all respect everybody's space, everybody says hello from afar, and it has been nothing but everybody doing the right thing around here, so I'm thankful for that.
All right, Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
DA, I'm trashing the constant need to change rules in sports. Every year, after every season, we have to change a rule. It can never stay the same. We can never have a solid offseason with no changing of rules. Now I got to learn the rule book again every time we change a damn rule. How about you get the rules right first and maybe wait 5 years before you change a rule? Get them out of here.
Okay.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
All these ridiculous leagues changing all these rules on a daily basis. Andrew Bogish, who are you trashing?
DA, I'm trashing the unnamed company to which I gave a fair amount of money in the winter to shrink wrap all my outdoor stuff in my backyard to protect it from all the winter elements.
Okay.
I've done it every year before. Anything works fine this weekend. Cut it all open to unleash the backyard, get everything going again. The barbecue is in there. Open it up. There's water all inside this double wrap, shrink wrap, protective layer. I've got the bottom of it is filled with water. I've got ruined sea cushions. My grill is all rusty and gross. I don't even know how I'm going to clean it. This whole thing is a complete mess. And of course, 3 phone calls to this company and no responses just yet about the crappy job they did with all my stuff this winter. So get them all out.
Trash them.
Illegal dumping.
Is this the same company that was leaf blowing or doing whatever in the yard
no,
last
no,
week?
No, 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 no. No, I would have went outside and tackled one of those guys and held him hostage until his ball showed up, if that was the case. But no, that's a separate entity.
Connor Green is next up on a Trash Tuesday. Connor Green, who are you trashing?
I'm trashing people that ride their bike opposite of a one-way street, because I always get there, the walk sign turns on, and just as I'm about to step out into the street, I don't look both ways, because why would anything be coming from the opposite direction? A biker comes flying through and almost completely flattens me. Maybe it's my fault, maybe I should be looking both ways, but I feel like you should be riding with the flow of traffic, because there's a slim chance, but there's still a chance that you're going to run me over, and it's happened like three times since 2020 started already. So anybody that rides their bike opposite of the flow of traffic on a one-way street, get them out.
It's a good one.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
Don't run into Connor Green when you're riding your bike the wrong way, you idiots. I am trashing doors. What types of doors? Well, in the middle of quarantine, I figured, you know, a nice project might be redoing our guest room. As I've mentioned in the past, the Bourbon Bell and I bought a house a couple of months ago, so since we've got nowhere to go, nowhere to be, I said, you know what? I'm going to tackle the guest room. Let's redo this. And the guest room's got three different closets. So I've got the door to the guest room, the door to two of these closets, folding doors, another closet, and a door to a bathroom. I'm painting doors, and the Bourbon Bell has advised me to do two coats of primer and two coats of the exterior paint. The satin finish, if you will. I've been painting doors for the better part of a week now. Every single day. By my calculations, each door, you got to do two primers on one side and two coats of the finishing coat on each side. That's eight coats of paint per door. I'm at five doors. That's 40 coats of paint. I feel like I'm living my life painting doors. That my actual job is painting doors, not hosting a radio show. I think I'm spending more time actually painting freaking doors. I'm sick of the doors. I want the doors done. I want to move on to something else. I'm up to my ears in doors and door paint, and painting is just driving me batty. Trash these doors.
That's a dumpster dive.
DA, three closets in a guest room? Did you move into the White House?
And these are not big closets. I wish it was one closet. It's like three tiny closets. One's like a little coat closet. One is a folding door closet that's like a foot deep. It's just totally unnecessary closets.
Cover them up. You don't need them.
I like that idea. Also, these doors have the panels in them, so it's not just one big roller up and down. I got to get into the panels.
Oh,
it is brutal.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Now let me preface all of this by saying, obviously, our main concern is those actually suffering from coronavirus right now. Hopefully everybody is healthy and safe as soon as possible. But there are a lot of people missing out on kind of regular life things while the country is basically shut down. Kids are missing birthday parties, college graduations are canceled, no proms. People can't get married, which is where we'll be stunned today. A Michigan couple was prepared to tie the knot all on their own in an empty church, but then a local cardboard company donated 100 cutouts of people. They were tall, they were short, they were somehow old and young looking, they had long hair, they had short hair, and these cutouts sat in the pews of the venue so that, in particular, the woman didn't walk down the aisle through an empty church. It's a great idea. It's a nice gesture. But here's what's stunning to me. If you're going to do that, right, don't you need to go the extra mile and, like, decorate the cardboard cutouts as the people that would be at the wedding? At least, like, put their name on them. Like,
you
want
to
dress up the guy here.
You want to dress up every one of the cardboard cutouts to be specific to the guests that would have been there?
I don't know about full costume, but I want to make them somewhat personalized. Like, or at least write, like, grandma across the face so you know who's supposed to be sitting there.
Right. For the record, these are just brown cutouts, and they're just silhouettes. There's no face on there. Correct. There's no painting. There's no color on them. I don't know about that. I think I would maybe, throw a necklace on one of them. I mean, what else can you do? A bandana? I don't know.
Bogus wants the DA big head sitting all throughout the church.
Yeah. Let me tell you this. I loved having all you guys at my wedding. It was a fun wedding. I had such a good time.
Which one?
The second one.
I got you. Okay.
The one you guys were actually invited to.
Okay.
But I got to tell you, there were some people there I would have rather had the cardboard cutout. Okay?
Based on conversations I had, I could agree.
This would have been a really nice fail-safe here. If I've been like, you know, honey, do we really need to invite them? We don't really like them. Let's just have their cardboard cutouts here, okay? Instead, they could send their sympathies for not having made it. I don't know. I think, weren't there some people at your weddings that you wish you didn't have to invite and you would have preferred the cardboard cutout? I mean, that's probably all of Pete's first wedding.
You got that right.
Half of it.
Including the wife.
Pete wanted the cardboard cutout wife at the altar.
Jeez. I'm convinced some of the cardboard cutouts might have given me a bigger check than the real guests at my wedding.
This feels like a good solution. And I think we should do this at baseball games. If we're going to play them at spring training, let's just have a bunch of cardboard cutouts in the stands. Now, they're better than Marlins, man.
But there should be a guy in an orange Marlins jersey, a cutout with a jersey draped around it to be Marlins man.
Blocking Marlins man.
Yeah, we can dress up like one of these cardboard cutouts like the chicken Milwaukee that always sits in the front row that gets all the attention for their low-cut blouses or jerseys.
I never noticed there.
Yeah, I'm sure we could do this. Let's get this going at these baseball games. Cardboard cutouts. I like this idea a lot.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
So last night on the Zach Gelb show, Mraz joined them as they squared off in a food bracket extravaganza. Here's the debate. Philly cheesesteak versus buffalo wings.
Look, the buffalo wing, it's really on a different level up there. And I'm a wing guy. I love them in New York. I love them in Florida. You go all over, get wings. Buffalo, there's something different. You can find a comparable, on a slight level, comparable cheesesteak in other places.
Oh, no, you can't.
Yes, you can.
Where? Find me a good cheesesteak in New York.
Let me tell you something right now. Carl's Cheesesteak, right field Yankee Stadium, is right up there.
Shut up.
Right
up there with Pat's bucks and it's not even good. You
forget
need seven
the price.
Beers in your system for it to be good.
Get serious. The Whiz with onions, it's the same thing you're getting at Geno's and Pat's. No, don't let your temple stuff hide the fact. That wing from Buffalo is not the same wing you're getting in Louisiana. It just isn't.
My relatives went to SUNY Buffalo. I love wings from Buffalo, but I'm overruling you here. I'm putting Philly cheesesteak. I get it once. I'm putting the Philly cheesesteak in the Final Four, and I am the biggest advocate for wings from Buffalo, but come on, meat and cheese,
I
onions.
Never ends with you. It never ends.
Hold on, Mraz. This is a food bracket extravaganza. You get Bill Raftery into the fold with the little onions, double sauteed. Come on.
Those are two big boys going at it. Regional delicacies, buffalo wings, Philly cheese. Mraz, I'd have to agree with you. I think wings in Buffalo taste different versus a Philly cheesesteak. You can get a really, really close comp. Also, my experience with a Philly cheesesteak in Philly was good. It wasn't mind-blowing. Maybe I'm a little altered by that. But I think I would agree with you. I think I would go Buffalo Wings, more significant of a regional perfection.
Thank you. You're going to have on a food expert. Listen to the expert. That was my gripe.
Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, doesn't want how they resume the season to affect next season.
There's been a lot of conjecture about various cities and places that might hold a tournament. Again, we're in listening mode right now. We've been contacted by many of those jurisdictions to ask what our level of interest is, and we've talked to them about what their capabilities are. But once again, it's just there's too much unknown right now. I will say, though, that as I look out into the summer, there does come a point at which we would start impacting next season. Even there, A few weeks ago, nobody thought we were talking about even a potential impact on next season, independent of what we might choose to do to finish our regular season and playoffs.
I get what Adam Silver's saying, audio courtesy of the NBA on TNT, but they're going to keep pushing that off. And if they can get an NBA Finals in this year, even if that means in August, even if that means late August, maybe even early September, meaning they have to start next basketball season in November, they'll do that, because getting the NBA Finals in is such a significant part of their season and of their revenue that they're going to make those, they're going to make those concessions. Believe me, it's not going to be like, well, we could get the NBA Finals in, but we definitely want to start next season in October. No, they'll push that. And finally, here's Ravens head coach John Harbaugh on the possible obstacles that lie ahead.
It's not something that I'm concerned with, in the sense that we're getting ready for a season, and I'm assuming we're going to play. And I'm assuming we're going to be back at the soonest possible date, and therefore be ready for it to get the most out of it. We're all going to be in the same boat. I mean, none of us are going to have an advantage over anybody else. So whoever makes use of whatever the situation is the best, gets their team ready the best, starting with the draft and then with the development of our players. That's who's going to win the most games. So, like, you know, we just look at it that way. I look at it competitively.
Yeah, I mean, if you are John Harbaugh or any head coach in the NFL, the approach is act as though the league and the games will be going on as normal. Prepare for that until told otherwise. Prepare for that as normal as it can be. Obviously, you can't meet for mini camps and OTAs right now. You won't be able to be together for the draft. But prepare as though you'll be playing all 16 games this upcoming season, 17 games, and then the full playoffs. Let's bring you this date in Mothership history.
Inside, it's this date in Mothership history.
On this date, 6 years ago, Mraz got super emotional over Ryan Callahan, his favorite Ranger, getting traded.
Last hour, Mraz got choked up again. I mean, was really actually openly crying here on the show. He was reminded that a month ago, the trade went down where his beloved Ryan Callahan was dealt to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mraz, how difficult is this for you to watch Ryan Callahan play so well for the Lightning?
It's not difficult, because I love Ryan, and I will always love Ryan, and I'm happy for him. And you know what? If the Rangers don't win a cup, I hope Ryan leads Tampa to a cup.
Are you getting choked up right now?
Stop.
You really are.
I'm not getting choked up like last time, but I just can't even think about it, Ryan Callahan, without just, it just, ugh.
Can you root for the Lightning?
If they're not playing the Rangers, I absolutely root for the Lightning, because it'll stick it to say they're absolutely. Ryan Callahan deserves a Stanley Cup, and he could have got us one.
I don't know what to say. This is becoming a weekly embarrassment. I mean, the eating is one thing. Now this, like, pathetic excuse for crying for one freaking player? Mraz, seriously, just go take a lap. Get out of here. Give us all a break. This is enough.
It's weeks later after the trade. When was the trade?
It's been over a month. I can't get over it. I don't know why. No, I had been fine. I've been watching the Rangers. I've been fine until just this phone call. And now I'm more annoyed and upset again. And I will always love
you. I will always love you. Is it because Mike in Tampa is talking about how great Callahan has been?
It's been awesome. I mean, we could be even better. The Rangers, yeah.
I mean, since the trade, the Rangers have played really well.
They have played well, but the St. Louis stinks. He's got one goal, and you know what? Come to shove in the playoffs, we're going to miss Callahan blocking shots. We're going to miss the penalty killing, and I'm going to have St. Louis not putting any pucks in the net, and we could fizzle against Philly here, and Callahan's going to be dancing his way. And you watch, the Lightning will match up with the Bruins in the second round, and he'll be the one, he'll be the hero that takes the Bruins out, upsets them, and it all, because Sather can't keep him.
But you hadn't gotten past it.
I haven't gotten past it, I guess.
You had distracted yourself from it.
This is like therapy, but yes, I distracted myself, and I haven't gotten past it.
It's time to process it, though.
The playoffs are here, and it's going to sting even worse as I'm watching him score big goals.
But it's time to process. But hey, you can root for Callahan now.
I'm going to. I'm absolutely going to.
Yeah, he's actually, tears are rolling down his face as we speak. I can't even do this anymore. He's getting married in a month. Someone wants to spend the rest of her life with him.
This is a month later after the trade.
Oh, get out of here.
It's a month later. He's actually crying right now.
I just want him back.
What a scorned ex-lover. Oh, my God, I miss him so much. Shut up.
Oh, man, this is too good. This date in Mothership history, 2014. That's one of the all-timers. One of the all-timers. Mraz actually crying over the Ryan Callahan trade and the snarky, pithy, dismissive Philly that is in Kenny Brock on that clip is just an all-timer. And Mraz, Ryan Callahan still has never won a Stanley Cup.
No, and that year the Rangers did make a Stanley Cup mainly because of the goal scored by Marty St. Louis acquired in that trade. And Callahan's contract became an albatross with the Lightning. So safe to say, I was wrong.
That year, after that trade, the Rangers went to the Stanley Cup final.
Yes, and literally because of acquiring Marty St. Louis and all the big goals he scored.
And the trade looked horrible from the Lightning standpoint.
Yes, absolutely. It looked terrible. Now, they made a cup the next year, but not because of Callahan. So I was wrong. You notice that a lot with me.
How great is Brock's just total saltiness?
Oh, boy. Anytime he could needle me in that moment, too, he knew how to play my heartstrings and just look at me like I was the biggest disgusting pig in the world. It was the one of many times that happened back there on the overnight.
Yes, that was year two of the overnights, and just relentless ripping and trashing of Mraz because we were all in very little sleep. Mraz was overly emotional at the time. You're still an emotional guy, but I think at that time you were even more emotional.
I was, and again, you guys all handled sleep different ways. I was just a big emotional tub of goo.
Blubbering mess.
Blubbering disaster.
This date in Mothership history, 6 years ago. That was before you got married, Mraz.
That's unbelievable. You're right. That was right on the cusp. I was a young man, DA. I had some hair follicles.
Young man. But Golf Digest reports that the PGA Tour is going to resume or plans to in mid-June, with the first event being the Memorial Tournament. And that would have no spectators. So in other words, Golf Digest is saying, yes, PGA Tour has Fort Worth and Detroit in late May schedule, but ultimately they're scrapping those ideas. They will. They're looking at mid-June for a return. So here's kind of my grander thoughts on this. I think we all know that sports is very unimportant in many life ways during this. I think the coronavirus has hit everybody very personally. I know a close friend of mine whose dad has passed away because of it. I know a secondary friend whose father has passed away from it. I'm based here in New York, and we are watching New York City under siege and the healthcare centers and hospitals under a crush of need, and hospital workers and nurses and doctors are doing unbelievably courageous things every day. I go into my grocery store and I see grocery workers that are working behind plexiglass, and I am completely in admiration of them. They have been amazingly supportive, amazingly kind. They could be on edge, anxiety-ridden. I have seen some amazing spirit from these people, and it's been inspiring to watch. Being around the people that are forced to be out there working and around people, you know, I have my postal worker that comes and the mailman, and we have our 6 feet of separation and we talk from across the driveway. But again, good spirits, positive conversation, positive people. I have nothing but admiration for the people that are at work right now trying to make it work and having to interact with people. In the grand scheme of things, sports is such an unimportant part of this. However, through sports, there is a spirit that comes out of people. There is a positivity. There is an optimism. When you see sports back, it feels like it's our first chance to poke our heads out of the house. It's like a Punxsutawney Phil thing. Do we get to see our shadow? Just looking at somebody outside doing something amongst other people is notable these days. You might live in a part of the country where it's less affected than the places I'm talking about right now. Major cities, obviously, San Francisco, Seattle, New York City. Now it's in New Orleans in a hard way, Detroit, Atlanta. But maybe you live in a part of the country where it's not as significant. But you feel this crush because perhaps your governor has said stay in. Perhaps your beaches are closed. Perhaps your parks are closed. Perhaps all the businesses, the restaurants are closed, etc. You're seeing this on the news. And it's a reality for all of us. I think sports being back is more than just sports for sports' sake. Yes, there's money involved, and that's obviously why they're going to do this. But I think for us, these events, these moments, these games are really not about wins and losses. It's not really about whether my team wins a championship, a Super Bowl, an NBA Finals. It's just about feeling as though our world that has been put on pause in a really terrifying, scary way, and an economy that is no good, it is feeling as though there is light at the end of that tunnel. Oh, there's something I recognize. Because right now, life is very unrecognizable for a lot of people. Perhaps for some of you, it is totally normal. But I'm sure if you are watching the news, listening to the news, reading stuff online, and I would highly encourage you to stay away from cable news as much as possible because it is a hysteria fit there. But I think for all of us, absorbing that, it's just totally abnormal every single day. And so sports does provide a comfort in that way. It makes us, it's a light, it's a beacon that says, hey, things are going to be okay because this is still going on or this is restarted. So golf coming back in June or baseball coming back in May does provide a significant lift to people, which is, I think, why the president got all of the commissioners on the phone and said, we want you to restart. We want you to try to restart because he knows, the White House knows, how significant an emotional uplift that type of thing is. And golf specifically is best suited for this. It is played in silence. You're not supposed to cheer. Okay, Tiger off the tee, bombing a shot, 350. Yes, there's going to be a, oh, ah, cheers. But largely, it is played in silence, in beautiful, natural vistas. And it's individual sport. It's individual competition where, unless you're on the putting green, guys are normally not that close to one another. Yes, you could walk the fairway together, but largely, you're keeping your distance. I think golf has our best chance of getting back to normal. Now, I hope this baseball plan takes off. I hope that it works. But in terms of the sport that is best suited for this, for the Masters, yeah, the galleries are great. The crowds are great. But people watch the Masters for the Masters' beauty. They watch the Masters for the Masters' tradition. You know, if CBS comes back from break with its Masters music and there's Jim Nantz calling, you know, the 18th tee, guess what? It feels pretty close to the same. It feels really similar. So when you hear the birds chirping and you see the magnolias and you know, of course, this will be in November, so it's not exactly April when we're kind of waiting for spring to start. But I think Mraz Golf is perfectly situated to get it back feeling somewhat normal again. And if I was golf, I would be optimistic that, yeah, social distancing, no crowds, that's okay. We can have tour events as long as basically the CDC says it's okay to have events like this even without fans.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know about up by you, but at least on Long Island, golf has been the one activity that has kind of been okay. Public golf courses have been allowed to be open. There are a lot less people on the course at a time. There's a lot bigger gaps between tee times, and you cannot be using carts and sharing carts. Everybody has to walk the course. So if recreationally we have begun to figure this out in hot spots, especially where I am on Long Island, that could be okay to play. I would imagine on a professional level with far more involved, they are able to figure that out as well. And look, I'm not the biggest golf fan from a TV point of view, but that would be a very welcome sight in June without fans to have on TV a nice golf tournament, a major tournament. I'd be all on board, and I think it's something that's definitely achievable at this time.
I have to say, if we get to June 1 and we have baseball and golf either already started or on the horizon in a couple of weeks, I would feel pretty good. I mean, who knows about the NBA playoffs? Who knows about the Stanley Cup playoffs? But if we're actually playing games and having competition in, what would that be, 8 weeks or so?
Right. Yeah, it's about 7 weeks from now. And 7 weeks is a long time. I mean, I know we're kind of having all these days blend together, DA, but for New York and where we've been, we're approaching about a month of being completely isolated like this. So that's another month plus, almost 2 months of what we've done now. You would think that has to feel achievable. That, and by then, we'd be even more hungry than we are now. I think that the positive light shining down definitely feel like this is, I think, gaining traction towards more probable than possible.
You just need some reason to feel optimistic that there's light at the end of the tunnel. And, of course, nobody can give you a finish line. Nobody can give you a timeline on when the virus subsides, when the vaccine happens, when testing is available enough to where everybody has it all the time. So those things don't have answers right now. But if you start seeing some things like this, okay, baseball's plans are to get back in late May, or golf's plans are to get back in mid-June or whatever, those are those benchmarks that people look for a psychological boost. Because when you don't have that, you don't have something to look forward to. It's hard. It's hard for people. I mean, this economy's hard for people. The reality's hard for people. Health is hard for people. Safety's hard for people. And you just want to see something normal, because that represents, oh, okay, I can make it to then. I just have to put my mind to it. But when there's an unknown, and you don't know if this could go into September, October, November, what have you, that's when people start breaking down.
Right. And no matter what happens and whatever's the first to come back, it's not going to be normal for a long time, even if we're told we're allowed to function as being normal. People are going to have their hesitations to go out or to go to events, to congregate, to go to a restaurant, all of these things. But I think where sports plays a small role in this, in golf and in baseball on TV, is the more of that we get when it starts happening, and although it might look weird without fans, the more comfort we will get as a society. And I think ultimately that will help the economy. That will help the psychological aspect of this for people, just to feel like they can trend towards being normal again and feel safe. And something somewhere has to be the first step towards doing that when it is allowed to be safe. And I think sports in particular, the way golf and baseball appear to be mapping this out, would represent that.
No doubt. And it would be interesting if sports is the thing that gets us mobilized again and feeling okay again. I mean, I remember the days after 9/11, and especially being in New York, of course, how devastating that was. It felt like you were punched in the throat and you really couldn't move. You were just emotionally so devastated for days on end, what felt like weeks on end. And there's always that famous clip of Mike Piazza's home run against the Atlanta Braves at Shea Stadium 11 days later. And people said it finally felt okay to cheer, because for 10 days, we felt like it was a funeral. I mean, when do you cheer at a funeral? You don't. So, you know, it was like when SNL came back or David Letterman came back, and you felt like, oh, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to not mourn for the moment. You know, I think the world is kind of, at least the nation right now and much of the world right now, is kind of feeling the same way. Sports would give us, as you said, kind of an emotional green light. Oh, it's okay to exhale. Oh, it's okay to pay attention to this. It's okay. Those little green lights are important psychologically for people. And I can't stress this enough. While you quarantine, while you're isolated, all of this, work on your mental health. Try to meditate. If you can do yoga, you like that. Exercise. Get your rest. Do little things, read an uplifting book, watch an uplifting movie, because part of this right now is a mental game. Part of this right now is being isolated is hard in human existence for a lot of people. You want to be connected. You want to feel and touch and see people. You want the normalcy of going to restaurants, going shopping, your stores being open, driving where you want, liberties, freedoms, these things that we have as Americans, we've grown up with, we expect them to be our God-given right. Right now, those have been taken away, and so mental wellness, mental health is the most important thing. I find myself every day going, okay, before I start sinking into fear, anxiety, depression, what have you, what do I do to undercut that. What do I do to stay positive? What do I do to look at the positive? What do I do to look at fortune and good luck and health and optimism? Because if you don't, you can slide backwards really easily. Work on yourself, work on mental health throughout all of this, because it is vital, absolutely vital, considering there's so much negativity going around, which is why I talk about cable news as watch out for it. It's like junk food. I know it tastes good when you're watching it because it fills a certain dopamine in your brain, but it's a lot of negative. It's a lot of loud. It's a lot of hysteria. It's a lot of anger. It's a lot of fighting. It's a lot of negativity. It's just a lot to take in. It's not great for your mental well-being, even when you have normal days. Abnormal days, it's really difficult to take in and feel okay after it.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Is Tony Romo a Hall of Famer being just a hot quarantine take? On Twitter, 63% of you said yes. On Facebook, slightly less, but still the majority saying yes, 59%. So most people agreeing with me that no, he does not belong there. Mraz is just being a hot quarantine artist. Facts. October 17th, 09, Romo inducted into the Eastern Illinois Hall of Fame, becoming the first player to have his number 17 retired by the school. His number, any number. So Romo's at least in that Hall of Fame because he's not getting into Canton. And that is your advanced analytics today. It's time for your epic fail of the morning. Mraz says with all the snacking going on in his household, it's like a kazoo choir in there. It's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Mraz, is this happening with Eli the Pomsky as well? Do you find his butt in your face more often than you like?
Yeah, and it stinks. It really stinks.
Huh,
stinks.
So run to the family.
Yeah, everybody's ass stinks in my house. There's no doubt about it. Everybody.
Mraz is disgusted.
It's like War of the Worlds out there with stomach issues.
Wow, interesting. I'm sure Danielle would love to hear that.
Oh, she's playing the kazoo on the couch every night. I can't do it anymore.
Oh, is that right?
He does seem to be clenching.
Yeah, he doesn't want to fart. Watch, when he gets enough space, he can let one rip, I guarantee you.
It's all the home eating. I mean, what are you doing? You're eating cookies and chips all day. Everybody's playing the trumpet as we walk around the living room. The baby, the dog, my wife. It's ridiculous now.
God.
Look at him crop dusting across your open house. It's a disgrace.
He farted in my open house.
He sure did.
So right now, your household is just a kazoo choir.
It's a quiz. You don't know who's making what sound. I had to question all three of them the other day, and they all pointed at me. Eli looked up. Was that you? Taylor, even the same thing? And Taylor, for 3 months old, D.A., you got to hear the sounds that come out of this young girl. She's daddy's daughter, that's for sure. Hey, no, you dogs. Smell butts.
What kind of sounds are you hearing from Taylor?
D.A., there are, she, I mean, not to get too graphic, long, drawn out, you know. Sounds like a duck is quacking out of the diaper.
So it's all the home cooking, you think, for you and Danielle, that you guys are just battling kazoos right now.
Right. It's a kazoo fight. I mean, and Eli, any drop of provolone on the ground, he's scooping and scoring with that. That's leading to a lot of bad dog issues back there. And not to mention, he's due for a grooming cut. I mean, it's Dingleberry Central on the back of her. It's crazy.
So right now, your household is just a kazoo orchestra. It's just like a game of Duck Hunt on Nintendo.
Thank goodness your wife sent me a candle, because that's all that needs to be lit down here.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
So I could just imagine your house of horrors.
I'm not alone.
Pete, what was that funhouse thing called? The firehouse, the firefly at WrestleMania?
Firefly funhouse.
Firefly funhouse. I just imagine that's like the Mraz household. You walk in and it's just assaulted by kazoo sounds.
Quack, quack, quack.
Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of The DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Connor Green, associate producer today. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of WatchDA.com, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Tomorrow, we break down the 1993 movie Rookie of the Year. Be with us. The Mothership disconnects.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.